right, good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us today. Appreciate you being here, and I want to thank all of the folks who are standing behind me, including the alders in particular, for joining us. And you'll hear from some of the council members in a minute, but I wanted to start by talking about what our next steps in the city of Madison are for improving our housing, the ability to build housing in the city, and to try and remove even more of the pain points that keep good projects from being done and keep property owners, including single-family homeowners, from being able to do what they want to do with their properties. We are absolutely committed at the City of Madison to providing more housing options for everyone, and we want every resident to have the opportunity to find a home that works for their family. Earlier this year, we introduced, and then the council passed unanimously, a housing package that did the first round of changes for this year. And I think those initiatives had wide support because they were really common sense efforts to make it easier to build a diversity of different housing types that are needed in a thriving city. And at that time, we promised that our work to build more homes in Madison would continue, and that's why we're here today. There isn't, which I hope you all have seen by now, one piece of legislation that is going to solve all of Madison's housing problems. However, there are a series of small changes that can be made in our zoning codes to make them more efficient and to provide more flexibility to home builders and to homeowners. And the package that we're rolling out today addresses some of those pain points that our planning and zoning staff have identified in our code. And so I want to really thank our planning and zoning staff for their hard work on this. We have pushed them to move quickly, and I'm appreciative that that has been difficult for them to take on trying to really examine our code for the places that we can improve it while doing their regular day-to-day jobs. So I want to thank planning and zoning in particular for that work. The changes that we're introducing are largely technical, and they help to untangle regulations and to make our rules more straightforward and easier to follow. And when it makes sense and it helps to strengthen neighborhoods, the goal is for us to say yes to more housing in Madison. So we are introducing three proposals at the next Common Council meeting, and that meeting is on September 16th. So the first three proposals, the first has to do with height limits, and this proposal will update our existing height requirements for the upper stories of large multifamily buildings. So it's really important that when we are building bigger buildings in the community, that they fit into the context of our neighborhoods and they fit in with the adjacent buildings that are near them. And so this change that we're making preserves the requirement to step down the building to its context. But it adjusts the requirement to step down the floors of the building so that they match the maximum height allowed in the adjacent residential district. So right now, when we require a step down, require it to come down to two floors. And now the requirement will be to come down to the maximum height of the adjacent district, whatever that may be. It might be two floors, it might be higher than that. And this is going to allow for more opportunities for homes to be built without compromising the height limits in any given neighborhood. And there is a very nice diagram in the ordinance, if you want to see this visually, what that means. The second proposal that will be introduced in September has to do with lot sizes and the setbacks related particularly to alley-attached garages. And this proposal addresses lot size requirements, which is one of the biggest factors in determining how many homes can be built in a given area. And we want to make some relatively modest adjustments to minimum lot size requirements across the city so we can increase the number of single or two-family homes that can be added in our neighborhoods. There are already existing desirable neighborhoods where we see more flexible lot sizes that encourage light density. And the goal with this proposal is to legalize that flexibility citywide. In some areas, these proposed changes would make the recent changes on deep residential lots or large corner lot divisions more flexible and more feasible. In other parts of the city, the changes to the lot area per dwelling unit minimum requirements will bring them in line with current conditions. In essence, we're re-legalizing the sizes and types of buildings that we see in some of our more popular neighborhoods. The proposal also addresses the setback requirements for attached garages that are accessible through an alley, and this is at the request of one of our larger single-family home developers. And again, this just adds some flexibility so that the rules are more consistent throughout the city. The third change that we're introducing in September has to do with accessory dwelling units. And this builds on the work that we've been doing already to make accessory dwelling units, that is normally backyard cottages is how you would think of this, viable options for existing homeowners. These structures, the backyard cottages, provide opportunities for residents to age in place in the neighborhoods that they love, gives more people the option to supplement their income with rental properties, and they open up new possibilities for young people who might be trying to own their first home. These accessory dwelling units can help address the shortage of housing across Madison, but we have yet to fully unlock the potential of this type of structure. So renting out a second unit in an ADU may help to cover some of the costs of construction while adding another home to Madison's housing supply. And this proposal simply makes that option possible so that if you do have a detached accessory dwelling unit, you could have two homes in that unit instead of just one. So those are the three things that we're introducing in September. And what's coming next, as you have heard me say before, is that we are just going to keep working on this. We need to keep examining anything that we can do to create more homes and more housing options. So in October, we are planning to introduce two more proposals that are currently being drafted to make additional adjustments to our existing transit-oriented development areas. And so our transit-oriented development areas, often called TOD, are all about incentivizing investments in our city near our transportation corridors. We do this because the relationship between housing and transportation is an essential everyday one. And the costs of housing and the costs of transportation are intimately related. So as we're thinking about how to provide more affordability for families in Madison, we have to think about not just what kind of housing folks can live in, but also how easy is it for them to get around our city based on where their housing is. So we're looking to encourage even more of that missing middle development in our transit-oriented development areas, and more to come on that in October. The other thing that we're looking at in October is cottage courts. And this is an idea I want to give Alder Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford credit. She brought this to us. It's something that she's been passionate about and asking us to work on. And I'll let her say more if she wants to, but I'm really excited to make it easier to implement the cottage court form of housing in Madison. It is a type of missing middle housing development, and that is something that we really do need to be incentivizing here in Madison and making it easier to do. The last thing that we are working on, that we do not yet have a date on when we will introduce, relates to the conversation that we had with the last housing package. So during the council deliberations on the last housing package, Alder Isidore Knox made a really excellent point about how some of the updates that we've made to our zoning codes that encourage the production of more homes are not being implemented equitably across the city. And in part, that's because of zoning districts that are called planned developments, or often referred to as PDs. And these exist because many decades ago, before we overhauled our zoning code, planned developments were really the only tool that we had at the city to work around some extremely restrictive zoning codes. So we started to see when a developer would want more flexibility, that they would ask for a planned development, and now we have these scattered across the city. They were a creative solution at the time, but now they make it exceedingly complicated for residents to do very simple things, like build a shed in their backyard. Because each of these planned developments have different rules. Some of them require permission from an architectural review board. And in some cases, those boards no longer exist. The people who are on them have moved out of town. And it can be really frustrating for residents to navigate this. And when somebody who has a property in a planned development comes in, if they want to make a change like putting in a fence or building a shed, they can't just look up the rules on the city's website. And they have to come, schedule an appointment with staff. Staff have to pull out the thick, dusty book off of the shelf to look up the requirements for that specific plan development. So that's a lot of work for the property owner, but it's also a lot of work for our staff. And it's not an efficient use of city resources. So today we're announcing that we've heard the call from council to ensure that our housing initiatives are available to more residents and to make it easier for property owners to do what they want with their properties. And so in the coming weeks and months, we'll be engaging with neighborhoods that have these planned developments to inform residents about the unique rules that only apply to them, and to see if those rules still make sense. After doing that work in talking with the folks that are most impacted, we will be introducing changes based on that feedback. And so just to sum up, we have three things that we're introducing at the next council meeting. We have two things that we expect to introduce in October, and then we will start doing this work on planned developments throughout the fall with the hope of having solutions and an introduction before the end of the year. And this is all of this work, this detailed, specific work of going through our ordinances, is with the goal of making it easier to build more homes in the city of Madison so that more people can afford to live here. So some of this is very technical, and we can get really weedy when talking about it, but I want us all to remember that the top line goal is to make it more affordable for more people to live in the city of Madison. And with that, I would like to invite Alder Govindarajan up to say a few words, and then we'll hear from a few of his colleagues. Alder?
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is MGR Govindarajan, and I serve as the District 8 Alder and the Council Vice President. As the alder for the campus area, I represent many Madison residents who are here to study, to begin their careers, and start new chapters of their lives. Madison has always been a great place to live, and our city has long benefited from people choosing to live here, fall in love with this community, and then laying down roots. That's why it is so important that we give people options no matter what stage of life they're in. Whether you're a student renting out your first apartment, a young family, looking to buy your first home, or someone looking to downsize later in life, Madison should have opportunities available for you. I'm proud to be one of the key sponsors of the latest housing package because Madison residents deserve the same opportunities that were available to their parents and grandparents. Right now, we know that Madison's rental market is extremely tight. That's a big reason why we need not only more apartments, but better pathways for people to transition into buying their own home, townhouse, or condo. I want Madison to be leading the way in solving these challenges. And one of the simplest measures in this package is updating the height requirements for multifamily buildings. To be clear, though, this doesn't make buildings taller. It just gives developers more flexibility inside existing limits. And that flexibility can mean the difference between a project being feasible, affordable, and built, or not happening at all. I'm also proud to support updates to our ADU policies. ADUs are a small but important way to create more entry points into home ownership. And a great way to get started as you transition into housing. We know that the city doesn't control every aspect of the housing market. That's a national challenge. But we can lead by example. And through this housing package, Madison is doing exactly that. Thank you.
Now I'd like to invite Alder Badri Lankela to the podium.
Thank you, Mayor. Hi, my name is Badri Lankela. I'm Alder for District 7. My district is on the southwest corner of the city, heavily single-family residential, where I call home. Been living there for the last 20-plus years. It has grown, and mostly it's all single families. And there is a lot less options now to build in that District 7. And we are in a city where fastest-growing city in the state. And I'm right next to the fastest growing business in this, if not the nation, at least in the state, Epic. Right? So we need to give more options for the residents there to live and expand. And I'm in support of all of these packages, housing packages, because it gives them more flexibility to build, especially the lot sizes, width, and alley garage ones are, lots are heavily used in our District 7, and it gives them more flexibility to build those in our district. So I'm very happy to see these common sense initiatives are moving forward and creates more options for all the residents. And as I talk to my residents more and more, and this is the issue they raised, and I'm happy to see we are moving forward with these initiatives, and I'm always here to support these initiatives. Thank you, and this is a big win-win situation for everybody. Thank you.
And then finally, I'd like to invite Alder Dean and Nina Martinez Rutherford.
Thank you, Mayor. I want to give a huge thank you to Director Tuttle and the whole team at Planning and Plan Commission and everybody who's touched this. Cottage courts are so exciting to me as we think about, rethink how we're living. It's a really important step to being able to provide some of that. Like, I don't know about y'all, but I have been dreaming of property where I can build smaller footprint houses, multiple of them on a plot of land and live with my friends and family and the people that I love. Cottage courts are going to help us to achieve that more broadly, and also will help us meet the need for softer density within neighborhoods and areas. It's going to also create this interest when how exciting to walk around the corner and see something that you don't see in a rigid, you know, grid street pattern. Walking around the neighborhood is going to be it's going to give you a little more interest when you're just enjoying it. Additionally, cottage courts have a tendency to create pocket neighborhoods where community can thrive and exist and spread beyond. So I am very excited to see this. And for those of you who don't understand what a cottage court is, you can also visit Troy Gardens, which was, I heard, a very intense project before. Hopefully we'll be able to make things like that a lot easier. Thank you so much. I'm Dina Nina Martinez Rutherford, and I'll give it back to the mayor.
Thank you. So again, I want to thank all of the council members that spoke and that are standing here with us today. I believe as of this afternoon, we have 15 sponsors on each of these ordinances, and a couple of them have 16. So I really appreciate the support from the council for making Madison a more affordable place to live and making it easier to build homes here. I do also want to thank again all of the staff in planning and zoning for their work. I want to thank the folks from AARP and the Urban League and Madison is for People for standing with us and advising us. And I want to remind everyone that we are very carefully tracking the production of new homes in the city of Madison. The city's housing tracker is available on our website. And in 2025, we have built across the city 1,600 new homes, and we have another 5,000 that are under construction right now. So we are currently on track to hit our ambitious goal of 15,000 new homes by 2030. And the work that we're doing with these ordinance changes is part of what is helping to keep us on track to be able to produce the number of homes that are needed in our community. There will be a public meeting to discuss the proposals that are introduced next week, and that public meeting will be on September 30th, so stay tuned for details on that. We also have a website that details these proposals at cityofmadison.com/housingproposals. And I want to thank you all again for being here, and I'd be happy to take questions if there are any. So we're still working on the details of the TOD proposal. I think there's three real things that we've been looking at. And the first is, as you may be familiar, in some of our area planning efforts, those plans have called for some proactive rezoning. And so we'll be looking at implementing that. And we're also looking at the production of missing middle housing in the TOD and ways that we can make it easier for some of that, those buildings that are maybe in the 3, 4, 6, 10 unit range to be produced in the TOD zone. And then lastly, we are looking at auto-oriented uses and seeing how we can make new auto-oriented uses more consistent with the long-term vision of the TOD and the level of density that we're looking for in the TOD. And I think often auto-oriented uses tend to be smaller single-story structures, which don't work in the TOD. And so we're trying to find some compromises that you could have some of those uses, but also still meet the design and density goals that we have for the TOD. Yeah?
Approximately how many housing units could be allowed, new housing units, under these latest changes? How far does it get you toward your goal of creating 15,000 new homes in the next 5 years?
It's a great question, and we really have no way of answering it, because all we're doing here is essentially allowing private property owners to have more options in what they can do with their property. So, we're allowing potentially a homeowner to build a backyard cottage that has two units in it instead of one unit, but we don't know how many homeowners are going to take advantage of that and over what period of time. You know, we're allowing somebody who's building potentially apartment homes to have more homes in a given building, but we don't know who will take advantage of that, when or where. So really what we're doing is creating the framework and setting the stage for the potential production of new homes, and we don't have a way of knowing who will take advantage of that when. Other questions? Yeah. I'm looking at staff. I don't think we have a number on that right now, but we can work on getting that for you. Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I think there's two things that we're working on with respect to that. And one is really just the production of homes and will moderate the price in the housing market. And I know that's sometimes difficult for people to understand, but what we're really trying to do is tip the balance of the housing market so it's tenants that have a choice of where to live rather than landlords being able to choose tenants. And so if the tenants really have more power there, the rents will moderate and potentially even come down. So we're really just working on the production of housing to make our whole housing market more affordable. Separately from that, we have a extensive work on producing subsidized housing, which is really the housing that's going to be most affordable to people who have no or very low income. Nothing that's before us speaks to subsidized housing, although certainly subsidized housing developments could take advantage of all of the things that we're working on now.